We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our upset pick segment for the week will be in the very next segment coming up at 4:20. Want to hear what Lonzo's taking? I will give you my upset pick of the week. I will be jotting all of yours down so I can tabulate the official standings. Remember, we made a change last week. You now get a minus one when you are wrong. So 1 point is deducted from your score each and every week that you have an incorrect pick. Lonzo just felt very strong. Lonzo believes in punishing people. I don't know what kind of masochistic history he has.
Needs to be
here.
Called the Lonzo Rule. I'm down with that. Even though I'm suffering from the Lonzo Rule, that's fine.
Well, you continue to suffer because you're at, negative points now for
just
the year.
Negative one.
Yeah,
only negative one.
You're in the negative, brother. All right, joining us right now, one of our favorite segments of the week, one of your favorite segments of the week. He is the host of the Late Kick Show on YouTube, as well as the Late Kick Podcast, at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. I always see you guys writing Josh and letting him know how much you appreciate him doing this and how much you enjoy the segment. I appreciate that because I really want to keep having him on. He joins us right now on the show. How you doing, my man? What's good?
I'm really good. I got a couple questions for you, but first I just want to describe the situation. Now that we've adjusted the schedule for this week, I have had the gym that I work at or out at here in Nashville cordon off an entire fitness room. And so here I am alone in the fitness room. You probably hear the echo, and I'm bouncing up and down on a medicine ball, as you do. And I'm ready to talk some sports. And I'm also ready to ask you, Marcus, how are you feeling today?
Dude, let me tell you, Josh, I appreciate you asking. I've never had food poisoning in my life. Never. All I can tell you, man, is you feel like you're dying. You know, like it just hits you out of nowhere. Off the air, Josh, I'll tell you what I had and where I went and what I did. But I'm curious, like, Josh, the second half of the show on Wednesday, I wasn't doing my best. Is what I do every time I'm not feeling my best, I take a hot shower. I get out of the hot shower, my body temp never came down from the hot shower. I'm like, man, this isn't normal. And then, man, you just start to have all the gastrointestinal stuff you can't eat. The biggest concern is that you can't, keep electrolytes and you can't keep anything down, right? I mean, that's basically the gist of it. But anyway, man, you ever gone through that at all?
Oh, yeah, I did. I've been through food poisoning. In fact, it's between lunch and dinner time. So when I throw up, it's very violent. And I ripped my vocal cords. I completely ripped my vocal cords and was worse. Yeah, I spent between two and three weeks trying to get my voice back. That was way worse than the food poisoning to me, because the food poisoning went away in like 24 hours.
I can't believe I would never know, Josh, that you ripped your vocal cords. I mean, your voice is nails on the chalkboard to me every week, but I'd never know. I'd honestly never know.
Yeah, I just went and hid for a little while out in the woods.
What's your second question for me?
Well, my second question is, I'm not so sure the Lonzo Rule doesn't need to be stretched, because someone out there is just going to bet a 5-touchdown underdog every week until they hit once during the season. So I think you should divide the total amount of points the underdog is by 2, and that's how much you get subtracted. Because I've been screwed by the league office already, so I think everyone else should be screwed by their own bad picks eventually.
Listen to this. I mean, Lonzo wanted a very harsh penalty as well. I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah. See, there you go. I'm down with that. If I just happen to be that guy who does what Josh was saying, I should pay even more for trying to pick the outrageous game, hoping to just jettison right into first place. Make it that. I don't care.
There you go. There you go. All right, Josh. Alabama versus Tennessee is the game that I am most intrigued by this weekend. If this is a typical Alabama-Tennessee game, we have the verdict. The gavel is down, and we know that Tennessee has made no gains whatsoever on their previous reputation. Do they have a chance to cover? Do they have a chance to make this closer than the experts think against the vaunted Crimson Tide?
Yeah, the answer to the second part is yes, but I don't know if the first part, I don't know if this kind of game's where I draw a verdict. Like, I'm more likely to draw a verdict from last week. To me, independent of what happens to them tomorrow, if they get beat 41-0 tomorrow, that doesn't tell me nearly as much as last week told me, or the second half of the Georgia game told me. I think what's most intriguing, because I agree with you on that part, what I think is most intriguing is not only who do they start at quarterback, but like what direction do they go at quarterback? Because I've had big arguments this week with Tennessee fans, which, to be honest, I've been surprised by. I thought once they brought Harrison Bailey into that game last week, that signifies, okay, well, we're ready to put him in, like we're comfortable with him being in the game. Man, you're not salvaging anything in 2020, and your job's not on the line. Like, Jeremy Pruitt's not on a hot seat for 2020. I don't care what anyone says. Let's see what Harrison Bailey can do. And then I would get, well, you can't just throw him to the wolves. Man, listen. This is not Pee Wee football. He is a scholarship quarterback in the SEC, first off. Secondly, you've put him in games already. And thirdly, this is not exactly a vintage Alabama defense. So Josh Dobbs got his feet wet against Alabama. I don't see why in the world we'd hold back from Harrison Bailey, especially when it's very obvious there are no other viable options right now to me at quarterback on that roster.
You know, Josh, I've often thought about, and thankfully, as far as I know, have never come close to saying something on the air that would get me fired mid-show. Now, maybe Lonzo would dispute that, but I don't think I've ever come really close to saying something that would get me canned mid-show.
The dump button is your friend. That's all I'm saying.
That's absolutely right, and Lonzo uses it on this one liberally. But, Josh, you know, considering that Jeremy Pruitt fired one of his assistants in the middle of the game, how does that happen? I mean, that just seems beyond poor form. And I was just wondering if you have any insider backstory on that.
Yes. All right. Let me put my filter on now. So it was a poor hire. There are some procedural organizational aspects of the Tennessee program that are not great. It's not exactly a well-oiled machine. This is one of the prices you pay, and you got to accept it. This is one of the prices you pay when you hire someone for a major job. Tennessee is one of the 15 biggest jobs in America. You're hiring a guy who's never been a head coach. 10 years ago, Jeremy Pruitt was sitting on a bulldozer in the middle of MTV Two-A-Days coaching for Russ Probst at Hoover. So he has not been a head coach, only been a coordinator at the college level for a brief period relative to some other guys in this sport. He is a brilliant football mind. Brilliant. I second to none when it comes to that. But running an organization is something that's new to Jeremy Pruitt. So you're going to have hiccups. You're going to have stumbles. We've talked about this before, Mark. A generation ago, your first job would never be Tennessee. Smart's first job would never be Georgia. Ryan Day's first job would never be Ohio State. And Lincoln Riley's first job would never be Oklahoma. You'd have to cut your teeth somewhere in the MAC or out in the WAC or Mountain West, and you'd make those mistakes out of the bright spotlight. These days, that's not the way it is. The timetable has been expedited. And so shortly after he hired that defensive line coach, it was oil and water. They didn't really mix. It was a hastily made decision. They've been butting heads the entire season. Philosophically, things were not working out. And, you know, that's a guy who's got a lot of connections to the Kentucky coaching staff. So that's why the story leaked out from the Kentucky side of things. But, yeah, it surprised me the manner in which it went down, yes. But it did not surprise me that it happened.
Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh joining us for his weekly segment here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Greatly appreciate Josh allowing me to reschedule from Thursday to Friday. Josh, you know, it's interesting. When you think about where the Big Ten is, and where the Big Ten is today and where they've been, oh, I don't know, in the last 5 or 10 years, I'm going to give them a compliment that I didn't think I would. We miss them. I don't feel that way about the Pac-12. I don't even feel like we really need the Pac-12. But we missed the Big Ten. I missed the Big Ten, and I can't wait to see the Big Ten. And frankly, I'm surprised to find myself saying that. Where do you come out on?
It's really funny, isn't it? I feel the same way. I felt myself develop this emotional attachment, which you try not to do professionally, but I felt this emotional attachment to the Big Ten when I saw what was happening and the, for lack of a better term, politicization of their season was going on up there. And so, you know, there were some people up there trying to fight for it, and I didn't even think they were doing it irresponsibly. If I felt it was irresponsible, I wouldn't have jumped on board. But, I mean, it was very commonsensical. It, you know, we're looking around the rest of the country, and they're getting things off the ground without much of a hitch. I think we can do it up here. So now we finally get to the season. Well, now we get to talk about Ohio State's defense and whether it's championship caliber. Now we get to talk about Jim Harbaugh's roster and the overall talent level eroding a little bit, but maybe Joe Milton at quarterback saves it and transforms the overall identity of that brand for years to come. We get to find out if PJ Fleck has year-over-year success. We get to find out if James Franklin can be the next program at Penn State that goes from the B tier to the A tier. Like, there's so much I'm looking forward to there.
I completely agree, and I think they've vaulted, they've dramatically increased the caliber of play. I think you could make an argument that they have the best coaching of any conference in college football, and I frankly can't wait to see them. I also, Josh, would be remiss if I didn't mention I was really kind of surprised at the massive Ohio State line. 26.5 points? Will they even score 26.5 points after such a long layoff?
Yeah, I think they will. That's not the part I would worry about. The part I would worry about, you know, the big concern up there is outside of linebacker, they got pretty significant question marks. I stopped short of saying worries, but question marks on the other two layers of that defense. Defensive line, a lot of greenness, talented but green. A lot of the same, even with Sean Wade returning in their secondary. And here's the concern, okay? If you're into gambling, I can assure you there are much better and more attractive lines out there than Buckeyes minus 26.5, because what happens in these sorts of games, Mark, they got Penn State on deck. Okay, everyone knows that. That's baked into the number. But what happens is if they get that score run up early, Nebraska's not going to stop throwing the ball. And if you see even a fraction of the struggle in that Ohio State secondary that you've seen, let's say, with Alabama so far this year, you could quickly have a game that's 45-7 late with two touchdowns tacked on, and all of a sudden it's a 48-21, 45-21 final. Ohio State couldn't care less, but you could, because you just were the victim of a backdoor cover at the hands of Scott Frost and Nebraska.
Josh Pate joining us. Josh, seriously improved play from the Gamecocks. You saw it. You called it last week over Auburn. But is what we're seeing a blip or a trend?
Okay, well, that's the question, obviously. That was the question this time last year. That's the question this year. Remember the excitement up there, and remember the excitement everywhere when they went into Georgia and they won. And everybody remembers the circumstance, okay? It was a turnover fest, but they took advantage of it, and that's the point. And they won. And yet, that was an island. That was a blip. It was the definition of a blip. And elsewhere, it was just a bad season. So this year, it's Cocktober again. We work our way to the same point on the schedule, and they get the win at Vanderbilt. Then they get the big win over Auburn, upset fashion, and then, well, mild upset fashion. And now they get to go on the road, and I cannot stress enough to the listening audience there how much of a wreck LSU is behind the scenes right now. There is scandal on top of scandal on top of scandal. Not to mention, they're out a starting quarterback. Their defense has been a sieve. And here comes South Carolina. It almost feels like they're an afterthought, like, no one even knows who LSU is playing Saturday. They just know LSU is playing Saturday. So Will Muschamp gets to win a couple of games, and they kind of sneak on into Baton Rouge. Got a, you know, 15, 20,000 people max in the stands, so it's not the usual Saturday night Death Valley mystique. I think they're going to win the game straight up. I picked them to win the game straight up. So you give me the points, but I'll just take them to win straight up. I am teetering on making that my upset pick. The only reason I'm teetering is because I have a feeling someone on this show is going that way too, and I don't want to be a copycat.
There you go. So let's get that upset pick from you, Josh, because foreshadowing, Josh made a good hint there about what my upset pick of the week could very well be. Where are you going?
I'm going to an ice-cold pick. I haven't heard anyone else on it all week. I think Missouri's going to beat Kentucky. So they're sitting at 5.5 right now, and I really feel like Missouri – I'm catching a double here. So it's a do-up, do-down. Love that spot. Missouri unexpectedly had a week off last week, and it came right as their offense had started to fire. So you gave one of the better offensive minds in the country a little extra time to prepare with, finally, the quarterback that should have been starting all year in Connor Bazelak. And then you couple that with the fact that Kentucky just got a program-defining win. It's a back-to-back road spot. They're in the most due-down spot they'll be in all year, and they're a 5.5-point favorite on the road. I will take Missouri to win outright as a 5.5-point underdog.
I'm just surprised you think they're close enough to Kentucky talent-wise to do that. I've said this week, Josh, one of the things I've learned about the SEC this year is that if you have a game, no matter who you are, in which you are beating yourself, Kentucky will beat you. And I don't care if your team name is Alabama. I learned that last week. I've been learning that about the Mark Stoops operation the last 2 years, I think.
Yes, but so we do a lot of data and trend analysis on this. Those are words that I barely know how to spell, but we do a lot of it. And you find that turnovers are not a predictable stat. Teams that are prone to being plus in the turnover margin, that can be predictable over a year-to-year stretch, but over a game-to-game stretch, you would think that it's not random, but it's still very randomized. So I ask myself, who's more likely to suffer from the turnover bug here? A team that's at home with an off week to prepare and started to hit their groove offensively, or a team that just benefited from a ton of turnovers the week before, going back out on the road again in an emotional letdown spot? I think actually we could end up seeing Kentucky be bitten by the very thing that's been their elixir so far this year.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Josh going with Missouri over Kentucky. And Josh, I'll tell you what, man, I am always fascinated with coaches' hot seat rankings, with the coaching carousel. The natives are restless in Austin, Texas right now. Can you give me a feel as to just how hot that seat is in Austin, Texas?
Extremely. And
wow.
It's extremely hot. Yeah, not just in message board culture or talk show culture, because that's stuff that changes every week sometimes. It's hot because the right people have lit the fire. And there's, I don't know how familiar people are with the subculture out there, but there's a lot going on culturally beneath the scenes there too. There's, you know, their fight song and the Eyes of Texas whole deal. There were a lot of people who thought they acquiesced more than enough to a lot of the demands of the student athletes in the off season. And yet here we are, and people are refusing to stay on the field for the fight song, yada, yada, yada. So people, if it was 4-5-0, they know it wouldn't be a big deal. But because they're not 4-5-0, they view Tom Herman as having sort of lost control of the wheel. I don't totally disagree, and that's just if we're talking about the football side of things, Mark. It's kind of like Florida. If not this year, when is Texas going to do it? I would even describe them like that more so than Florida this year. They've got all the experience at quarterback. They got the number 5 roster in America per our talent composite. I mean, Oklahoma came in there reeling. They barely had a foot to stand on and yet still figured out a way to beat them. So if my expectations were 8-4, I wouldn't mind. It's just another year. Oh, well, we'll get them next year. This is Texas, man. You don't accept anything less than contending for a championship. And I don't care how long the drought's been. You just keep swinging because Alabama sucked for a long time, too. They kept swinging and kept swinging. Then they found something called Nick Saban. How'd that turn out for him? So you just keep swinging. And you can have people tell you, oh, it's crazy to dream for Urban Meyer or whoever you want. You're Texas. So until it's proven otherwise, expect that you can get whatever you want.
What's coming up on Late Kick tonight, Josh?
Absolutely nothing, Mark, because it's Friday.
Oh, my God. Dude, can you ever imagine that I've been out of it this week? I bet that
he was ready for that. You could tell he knew you were going to do that.
Good gosh, man! We're all creatures of habit, man. What did I miss on Late Kick last night, Josh?
Yeah, I had that pod already queued up, so that was just a recording. Now this is me actually talking. We had a great night last night. Somehow I figured out a way to do previews and predictions for 8 football games tomorrow, and also did 3 season predictions for Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. I gave out 5 best bets. And again, I want to stress to the listening audience, I did all that in under 45 minutes. So I don't know what I deserve, but I think I deserve something.
I invite you to subscribe on YouTube to the Late Kick Show on YouTube, also to his podcast, which is available anywhere you can hear podcasts, Late Kick with Josh Pate. Appreciate it, pal. Thank you so very much. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, guys, you too.
All right, take care. Josh Pate. Lonzo, I'm so messed up 6 ways to Sunday, man. What day is today? We're in the month of October now, right? Anyway, it is time.
Only for one more week.
Good gosh. Has the election happened yet? That happened last night, right? Our upset picks are coming your way next here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, guys. One of those commercial break discussions that I wish sometimes I could bring up back on the air with you. But this one...
Absolutely not.
This one would not be good for business. Would not be good for business to do that. All right. Texter says, happy weekend Offsides. Folks, it is time for our upset pick segment of the week. I wanted to do this. Appreciate Rob and Lonzo taking down a few of these from last week. But I want to get all of your upset picks now, okay? So let's get going with the text line, get going in sending these in. The way that it works, very simple. You call an upset pick, and if your upset pick wins, you receive the number of points that that team is the underdog. We added last week a small penalty. If you miss the upset pick, you get a minus one to your overall score. That way, it just prevents somebody from picking a 40-point underdog, a Syracuse, every single week of the season against a Clemson, and then getting lucky one week and wins the entire thing. So we have coming in right now, Mad Dog is taking TCU over Oklahoma, -6.5. That is sexy. We have Matty Richbucks taking FSU over Louisville. He thinks the Seminoles play is more of a trend than a blip. I want to get Lonzo's pick as well, but before we do that, let's go to the phones, and Delvin in Fountain Inn joins us right here on the program. Delvin, thanks so much for the call, pal. You're Offsides. What's going on, bud?
Well, first of all, it's good to hear your voice again. See, this is getting a little better, man.
Delvin, let me tell you, brother. Let me tell you. That was one of the most weakening things I've ever been through. And you got a fever, and you can't eat, and you wouldn't believe how weak you get as quickly as you do when suddenly you can't keep food down anymore. You know what I mean? You wouldn't believe. It's like, man, I need to eat that much. I need to eat that quickly. It was kind of alarming, man. And there was about 36 hours there that was pretty uneasy, if I'm honest with you. And then, of course, when you have the pandemic going on as well, like you have that in the back of your mind as well, right? You're like, man, did I get COVID? Like, I know that can have gastrointestinal stuff. So my mind went to a lot of places. None of them were good, but I'm really glad to be back, man. Thank you very much for the kind words, Devin.
Yeah. I'm going with Navy, -10, for the upset over Houston.
Navy, getting 10 points over Houston. Why are you doing that?
I like Navy. I think that took a lot of their offense is going to give Houston power on their defense side of the ball.
Yeah, you know what? Navy's a really physical team, and Houston's been a finesse team over the years. I covered them, and I can relate to that completely, man. I can relate to that. Anything else you want to touch on today, Delvin?
No, I didn't want to get my upset pick, and I said, I agree with you, man. I think Sacramento's going to go to the road and get the upset tomorrow as well.
There you go. There you go. Delvin, thanks so much for the phone call. 1-844-477-3776. That number again is 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show. Panda says, what are the current standings? If you guys don't mind, if you could just give me until early next week on that. I have not had a chance to tabulate where we are, but I have everybody's picks. It's really easy to do. And so if you don't mind giving me just a little bit more time you know, to have those for you next week, I would truly appreciate it. Team 3B says he's taking Ole Miss over Auburn. That is a 3.5-point spread, and I've been staying the hell away from that game the entire week. I've been monitoring that line. I've been looking at that line. I have no interest in that game because I have no idea what's going on. Auburn beat Kentucky handily earlier in the year. Auburn then should have lost to Arkansas, did lose to South Carolina. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Ole Miss, Matt Corral, 6 interceptions last week. Who knows? I mean, put it in a blender. Whatever spits out is your winner. I have no idea. I'm staying away from that one. All right, Lonzo, what do you got? What is your upset pick of the week?
All right, I already gave it yesterday, but I will do it again, and I am not being a copycat because I've heard all the glowing things said about South Carolina all week, and I saw that game, and you know that I've been fairly negative on what happened. I think I still believe that Auburn is part of the reason why South Carolina won, because Auburn gave them that game. Well, I think LSU is going to do the same thing. And, you know, Josh helped convince me and other people, too, about the running game. I think it was Lawton earlier talking about the running game. South Carolina's running game looks really good. That's one of the more solid parts of the team. There are parts of the defense that look really good, too. But LSU is a mess. And there's a part of me that's daring to believe. I feel like, you know, come Saturday night, I'm probably going to be like, why did I do that? Because I'm getting my hopes up. I almost believe, and obviously I do believe enough to make the pick, and I'm going with South Carolina with the upset.
By the way, I got people curbing their lines, maybe wondering if I know what the current line is, and I'm not going to let you jabronis get away with that. South Carolina is not a 7-point underdog to LSU. They're a 6-point underdog to LSU, but I appreciate this texter's attempt to get that all-important extra point.
So you're sure the line hasn't changed? I mean, it's possible. It could be changing by the moment.
I just checked it on a friend's betting service, Lonzo. A friend put me up to this. I just checked with a friend before the show, and the friend told me on this betting site that it is on a very well-known betting site that this is still 6 points. Also for you, Lonzo, it's not the first time you've copied off my paper, but congratulations on joining the right side. I am also going with South Carolina. This line, guys, let me just be abundantly clear. I have not seen a line that I think is more easy money the entire year than South Carolina and LSU. Mark, you realize what you're saying, right? This is the Gamecocks we're talking about here. That's the only part of this that gives me any trepidation. Will Muschamp doing Will Muschamp things, losing a game they're supposed to win. But guys, the Tigers right now are a bleep show. They are a bleep show. Self-imposed penalties, no starting quarterback, COVID, no fans in attendance, all of the defections of players saying they're not playing this year. This is LSU in name only. LSU right now is the girl you go back to your high school reunion and you say, good God, you were the hot cheerleader. The hell happened to you? Get out of the tanning bed. You look like a raisin. Like, that is LSU right now. They are not who you think they are at all in any way, shape, or form. Let's see here. Panda is going with NC State over UNC, minus 15.5 points. Another texter says, you got to give me your name, texter. I like the Gamecocks by many points, but I worry that Muschamp will find a way to mess it up. Got to give me your name so I can mark that down. In any case, I will track and I will monitor your picks over the course of this show today, and we'll take them up until 7 p.m. this evening, if that sounds good for you. And if you miss a week and you're like, man, I missed last week, so I can't do it, there's no point. No. You guys know the point system, right? You miss a week, it's really no big deal because you could get a 10-pointer the next week and be in first place. I mean, that's how it goes. Casey Helderman says, let's see here. Mark, sorry you had to deal with a nightmare that is food poisoning. Glad you are feeling better. Never experienced that at any point in my life. And I feel like only like 20% of it I can share on the air because it is so vile and disturbing.
Are you surprised? Because I am surprised about how many people have actually had food poisoning.
I've never had it, Lonzo. I just thought I was immune to it.
I know, but the fact that I've had it and the guests have had it and a ton of listeners have had it, it seems like more people have had it than haven't. So welcome to the club.
Yeah, no, I don't want any part of your club. I delete my membership. I'm canceling my subscription to that effective immediately, but I will never go to that restaurant again. I will never go. Lonzo knows this. I'm number one, I'm gluten-free, all right? So I expect people to know what I can eat and what I can't eat. This place had no idea what I could and couldn't eat. They had no idea. And I'm just like, man, you got to be kidding me. How do you have no idea what I can and can't eat? That's really pathetic. So Lonzo, it was either a certain kind of meat or chicken wings, but either way, it feels like you're on death's doorstep, man. Your temperature spikes, your heart is pounding out of your chest, and then if that's not bad enough, you can't keep any food down, man. So it was just like, man, please allow me to tolerate Gatorade. And I successfully tolerated about 11 gallons of Gatorade the last couple days here. So anyway, coming up next, S. Herb. See, he did it again. He's going plus 7 points, South Carolina. It's 6 points, guys. It's 6 points. Let's see here. Lance Burns is going with Baylor over the Longhorns. Got it, Lance Burns. Thank you very much. Nick Cale will give us his – can I get anybody's name right today? Nick Cale from Atlanta will give us his lock of the week. Coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate. You know, over your time in this business, you come to know who the great people are and who the less savory characters are. And I'm just here to tell you that this guy not only is one of the most talented hosts in the country, he's one of the best people. There was a time in my career, about 2016, 2017, Nick is the morning show host in Nashville, and Mark is depressed about life and depressed about where he is in his career, and Nick gave me a huge pick-me-up during that time, and I've never forgotten that and always appreciated his friendship. Just happened to notice as well that he's kicking some serious ace in his betting picks for this season. I've been watching him each and every week, and as I see that record go up as I see my own picks sometimes be in opposition with his, I'm finding myself changing some of my picks based on what he's telling me right now. Nick Cale is a sports radio show host right now out of my former station, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, and he joins us right now on the show. Hey, bud, how you doing?
Mark, appreciate the intro, man. I'll make sure to Venmo you some cash. Good stuff.
I absolutely need it. I absolutely need it. LSU, South Carolina. This line's a joke, right? LSU with their mess, they're not better than the Gamecocks right now.
You know, you're right. A couple of things that stand out about this game to me is the line opened up LSU minus 6.5. It came all the way down to 4.5. It's now back up to 5.5, which I would consider a dead number. 55% of the public are on South Carolina plus the 5.5 points, which I think is the right play. I don't love either side tremendously, but LSU's defense gave up 44 to Mississippi State. They gave up 45 to Missouri. Their lone win is against Vanderbilt. Now, they've had 2 weeks off. I don't think Bo Pelini can really fix this defense to any great extent. You would know better than me, but South Carolina the last couple of weeks, 41 points and 30 points with Colin Hill. To me, 5.5 is too much for LSU. I think LSU wins the game, but I would take South Carolina to cover. I'll go Tigers 31-27. So a 4-point win, but that is not a cover for the Bayou Bengals.
I can't believe you're picking LSU to beat them. I really can't believe that. I'm shocked by that. But I want to move on to Alabama and Tennessee. Tennessee, you know, they've been having kind of prove-it weeks every single year. Every year, and Nick, I know you used to work there, but Lonzo and I make fun of them every single season because tomorrow never comes for the Vols. In every single year, we're told it will. And I think if they get smoked in this game, a definitive ruling has been delivered on this particular team. I think I've seen minus 22. How do you see it?
Yeah, I agree with you. This could be the nail in the coffin for their season. It opened up Bama minus 20.5. It went up to 21.5, back down a half point to 21, now sits at 22. And I think the thing that's kind of scary for this game is Alabama's defense coming off of a second-half shutout against Georgia. Nobody's going to compare Stetson Bennett to Matthew Stafford, but Stetson Bennett has looked far better than any quarterback Tennessee will roll out tomorrow, and they could legitimately play four different quarterbacks. Their quarterback play has been a disaster. The public is all over Alabama, as they should be, as I would expect. Too many weapons for Alabama. I'll go with a tied 48-20. They win by four touchdowns.
So you're taking the cover on that as well. Wow, very impressive. I don't even know what to make of Clemson lines anymore, Josh. I see them every single week. They're offensively absurd. This, I mean, they're playing a conference opponent, right? And the line is 46 points. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this, man. And the most interesting question to Clemson fans is, hey, can we hang 70 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah, and I think they have a legitimate chance. You look at their offense, Clemson, eighth in college football at 531 yards per game. The number opened up at 44.5. It's up to 46. Surprisingly, only 57% of the public are on Clemson, 43% taking the Cuse and the 46. I mean, Syracuse is a mess. They gave up 38 to Liberty. That's a good football team. Hugh Freeze is a good coach. But we saw what Clemson did last week to Tech, 73-7. If Clemson shows up looking to put up a statement like they did last week, they'll roll, they'll cover. I think they do. I'll take Clemson 59-10.
59-10. Unbelievable pick in that particular game. You know, I hate betting games like that, Nick, because it feels like if I take the favorite, it's taking me 3 hours to win the bet. You know, like I'm losing for three and a half hours of my day. And I don't like losing that long. But we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. Nebraska, Ohio State, I've been kind of marveling at the size of this line each week just because the Buckeyes haven't played a game yet. Year three, I expect the Huskers to be a little bit better. How do you see it?
Yeah, I would hope they would be better. They got stomped last year in Lincoln when Ohio State came in. It was the biggest game in Nebraska in a handful of years, and they got absolutely rolled. This is not a game that I would love to bet just because it's the opener for the Big Ten. We don't know how effective and how efficient these teams will be, how crisp they'll look. The line opened up at 23.5. It's up to 26. As I mentioned last year, the Buckeyes rolled. I was a guy 2 years ago that thought Adrian Martinez could be a really good college quarterback. I haven't seen that yet. Between Fields, Sermon, Master Teague, Chris Olave, I'm going to take the Buckeyes in this one, 45-14. I think it'll be close when we talk about the spread, but I'll take the Buckeyes to win by 28 and cover by 2 points.
And then, Nick, I would love to get to your pick of the week. We call it the lock of the week. We understand that there are really no such things as locks in life or sports, but we're pushing the envelope anyway. Nick, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go to the Big 12, Mark. I like Oklahoma State in this showdown against Iowa State. The number is 3.5, and Iowa State is a completely different team on the road. They won three in a row, but they lost their opener to Louisiana, and they lost by 17 points. But when they're on the road away from Ames, they're a completely different team. Believe it or not, Oklahoma State, number 5 in the country in the FBS, giving up 12 points per game. Now, technically, it's not overly impressive when you see they played Kansas, Tulsa, and West Virginia, but they've had 3 weeks off to get ready for this one. The Big 12 has been terrible. Texas and Oklahoma, multiple losses. If Mike Gundy's ever going to do it, this is the year. Chuba Hubbard, big day. I'll take Oklahoma State by 10. Cowboys win 27-17.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Oklahoma State is your lock of the week today. Nick, great stuff, man. Truly appreciate it. I want our listeners to have a chance to hear you moving forward here. I know you're on my former station in Atlanta a ton these days. How can they do that?
Yeah, just radio.com app, 92.9 The Game, Saturdays from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, and then digitally on the Falcons Facebook show immediately after a Falcons game on Sunday.
There you go. Nick Cale, appreciate it, bud. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too, bro.
All right, take care. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Texter says, Mark, you should have come back on the air yesterday and had a Jordan-like performance. Number one, I'm not Michael Jordan. Number two, my old man kind of wanted me to do the same thing, and I thought about it, but here's why I didn't. Because we, you know, it was a live show with a client. I think if we were at home, I would have attempted it. Like, if I was just doing a regular show at home, I would have attempted it. And I don't think it would have been a good show, given the way I was feeling. But when you have a client who is expecting you to be there, if there's any chance I can't be there, it's, you know, or if there's any chance I wouldn't be able to make it through the show, I didn't think it was it was the right move to push it at that point. And I also knew conclusively, I had the utmost confidence that Rob would do a great job. And I know that he did, even though I didn't get to hear it because I was in the sick bed. But no, I appreciate the kind
of words. It's a smart move on your part, because if you would have tried to do the show in your current condition, I would have did everything I can or could to make you have to go to the bathroom. So it would have been rough for you.
Yeah, no.
But you know what? I would expect you to do the same to me. So, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, Lonzo would be playing like fart noises in the background, you know, coming back from the break. What else would you have come up with?
I don't need noises to go.
Yeah, by the way, on Twitter, our friend, my parody account guy, he has Mark Ryan puke account, all these emojis of getting sick. And then Crispy Knoll, this is funny, he goes, Mark, you can't leave Duke's Mayo out overnight. I just thought you should know. Hey, listen, I would be so fortunate if Duke's Mayo was involved in this. That stuff is delicious. But unfortunately, I'm almost positive it was some sort of meat. And again, if you guys want to know where I ate, I'll tell you, but
I love that some sort of meat. Like, you're not quite sure what the meat was exactly.
No, I still don't. I still don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. It's indecipherable, Lonzo, inside the porcelain god. It's indecipherable. So anyway, guys, I appreciate the support a whole lot. I really, really do. And slowly but surely, hopefully by Monday, I will have all my strength back, which will be great. Texter says, now you have experienced how the Gamecock fans will feel when South Carolina beats LSU and they sign Muschamp to a 5-year extension. That better not happen. That's not going to happen, right, Gamecock fans? Like, what, at this point, what would Muschamp have to do to earn a 5-year contract extension from you? Please tell me it's more than just beating a down Auburn and LSU. Please tell me that doesn't merit it. Offsides with Mark Ryan rolls on after this here on ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.